Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, April 3rd, 2020, coming up this hour.
U.S. futures fall as the coronavirus outbreak spreads from coast to coast.
Global infections pass 1 million, while U.S. cases approach 250,000.
The small business rescue gets underway as unemployment claims hit another record.
Mayor de Blasio is calling for New Yorkers to wear face coverings while outside. Plus, Dr. Anthony Fauci says all states should be on lockdown. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. We'll tell you how the Patriots helped coronavirus relief in New York and the agreement struck between Derek Jeter and Tom Brady.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are falling as investors take risk off the table heading into the weekend. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 28 points, Dow futures down 257, NASDAQ futures a loss of 84 points. The DAX in Germany is lower by 0.4%, CAC in Paris down 1.1%. 10-year Treasury note down 2/32, the yield 0.60%, 2-year Treasury yield 0.22%. NYMEX crude oil is surging, higher by 6.2% or $1.59 at $26.93 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $6.30 at $16.3140 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0813 against the dollar. The yen, 108.46. John.
And Nathan, U.S. futures are falling as the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread. Testing for COVID-19 is ramping up, and that has infections in the U.S. approaching a 250,000. We spoke with Vice President Mike Pence about the effort.
We're now testing over 100,000 Americans a day. We literally are tracking every single day the number of cases that are coming out, where they're coming out, and that's informing our coordination.
Still, medical professionals say they aren't able to test all patients who may have COVID-19, and that's hampering efforts to prevent the spread. U.S. deaths from the disease now number more than 6,000.
And the economic fallout from the pandemic continues to deepen. Yesterday's record unemployment numbers show 10 million Americans lost work in the last 2 weeks of March. It's alarming, but Vice President Pence is expecting a strong rebound.
We'll get through this. We've supported unemployment insurance benefits for the states. We're working closely with governors to make sure that those that are impacted have the support to see their family, to see their businesses, and to see their communities through the course of the coronavirus.
After three stimulus packages from the White House and Congress, a fourth measure is in the works. President Trump wants a $2 trillion infrastructure bill. That is a plan that's also favored by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Help from the most recent rescue package could arrive in as soon as 2 weeks. That's according to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
The economic impact payments. I had previously said this would take us 3 weeks. I'm pleased to report that within 2 weeks, the first payments will be direct deposit into taxpayers' account.
The IRS will make about 60 million payments this month to people with bank account information on file with the agency. Paper checks start going out in May. But according to the House Ways and Means Committee, some people may have to wait until September before receiving payments.
There are also concerns about unemployment insurance payments getting out on time. Kent Smetters is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School.
The problem is unemployment insurance is really levied at the state level. It's a coordination between federal and states. And a lot of states just aren't set up to distribute the checks. They have very legacy old systems. They can't handle the increase in even online applications. But it's really the back end processing. These systems are often mainframes running code. And it's not like state workers can dial in from home and do a lot of code changes. So you're going to see a lot of delays in state distribution of unemployment insurance. That part's not going to work as intended.
Kent Smetters is director of Wharton's Economic Modeling Group. He says states like New York are already scrambling to get unemployment benefits to the large number of residents filing claims.
After 2 weeks of record-high jobless claims, we could be in for another big uptick. Betsy Stevenson is an economics professor at the University of Michigan and former chief economist for the Labor Department.
I expect we're going to see another 3 to 7 million people in next Thursday's number, because we're hearing lots of stories of furloughs and people being pushed into the unemployment insurance system. So this historic rise isn't going to end anytime soon.
Meantime, the $350 billion rescue for small businesses gets underway today. The funds are much needed, but there's concern about processing a flood of applications.
It's also quite likely that the amount of money they've made available in those guaranteed loans for small businesses will hit its cap. Then they'll need to increase the amount of money that's made available to small businesses in those guaranteed loans, forgivable loans for people who keep people on payroll.
Just yesterday, lenders complained they lack guidance from the Small Business Administration on how to process the loans. There's also concern some won't take part because of what's seen as unfavorable terms for the lenders.
Turning to energy now, oil is gaining for a third day as President Trump pushes to cut global output by at least 10 million barrels a day. After a phone call with the Saudi Crown Prince, sources tell us the president wants to get both Saudi Arabia and Russia to cut about 10% of global production.
It may be 10 and it may be more than that. I was actually told it may be 10 and it may be more than that. Maybe it's 15. Maybe it goes up to 15.
President Trump's goal will likely hinge on whether Saudi Arabia and Russia can reach a deal. Just hours after his comments, we got word that OPEC and its allies, a group that includes both countries, are making preparations for a meeting as early as next week. And an OPEC Plus delegate tells Bloomberg News that a global output cut of 10 million barrels a day is a realistic goal. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's higher by 5.1% or $1.27 to $26.59 a barrel. Brent is higher by 10%, $32.94.
And in Europe, we're seeing more grim economic data. A measure of services and manufacturing points to an annualized economic contraction of about 10% for the euro area. Markets composite PMI fell to 29.7 in March, much lower than already gloomy estimates. Almost every country in the survey posted a record low reading. Head of the cash open on Wall Street, futures in the red. The Dow futures, 237 points lower. That's down 1.1%. The S&P E-mini futures, 26 points lower. That's down 1%. And NASDAQ E-mini futures down 79 points. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is warning that the state supply of ventilators could be exhausted in 6 days if the number of people becoming critically ill with the coronavirus maintains its rate.
These ventilators are very simple. A person comes into the ICU unit, they need the ventilator or they die. It's that basic a proposition. We have about 6 days at the current burn rate of ventilators.
Cuomo says the number of COVID-19 cases in the state is now around 92,000. Worldwide, the number of reported infections hit another gloomy milestone, 1 million with more than 53,000 deaths. Today, Spain reported the first decline in new coronavirus deaths in 4 days. Mayor Bill de Blasio is advising all New Yorkers to wear face coverings outdoors, like a scarf or bandana. The mayor says you can create your own.
You can be creative and put whatever decoration you want on it. It can be as homemade as you want. But that's what we want you to do, something homemade, not something professional, not something from the supplies we need for our heroes. And that's going to help protect everyone.
And there's talk the White House is likely to recommend that people living in areas hardest hit by the coronavirus cover their faces in public. President Trump.
If people wanted to wear them, they can. If people wanted to use scarves, which they have, many people have them, they can. In many cases, the scarf is better. It's thicker.
New research shows that the pathogen may hang in the air after people sneeze, cough, or even talk. The director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says he believes that there should be a federally mandated stay-at-home order, something President Trump says he won't do. During the CNN town hall, Dr. Anthony Fauci also said while warm weather might slow or stop the spread of COVID-19, warmer parts of the U.S. like Florida are still in crisis mode.
I think there will be some effect. I think when the country as a country gets into summer, that we're going to get some positive effect. But we really can't rely on that being the mechanism where we're going to get out of that. We just got to assume it's not going to help.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street. And it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. We say good Friday morning to John Stashower.
All right, good morning, John. The Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, says he loves New York, went to business school at Columbia, he has seen the city become the epicenter of the pandemic, wanted to help, spoke with the governors of New York and Massachusetts. A deal was struck with China where the Patriots team plane went there and brought home 1.2 million masks. Wall Street Journal reported that Kraft paid $2 million himself. Yankees doing their part. They announced a $1.4 million fund for stadium employees who are losing paychecks. Giants introduced their new quarterback. Colt McCoy will back up Daniel Jones.
I've been a backup and I've been a starter. I think that the way that I approach it is, number one, is making sure each week that Daniel feels as comfortable as he can going into these games and understanding and feeling good about the game plan and our preparation all week long so he can go out and play as best he can. And, you know, I take pride in helping him feel that way.
McCoy spent the last 5 years in Washington. Yesterday's report was that the British Open had been canceled. Officials denied, say no final decision has been made. So Derek Jeter's the landlord and Tom Brady the tenant, and the rent will presumably be due the first of the month. The marriage makes sense. Jeter now lives in Miami running the Marlins. Brady's about to start a new job in Tampa, so he's renting Jeter's waterfront mansion on Davis Islands just outside of Tampa. 30,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, an elevator, a boat dock. There's a Michigan connection. Brady went to school there, and Jeter would have if he not been drafted by the Yankees. John Stash, that was Bloomberg Sports. John?
Nice digs. John, thanks a lot. Please tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show. Without regular sports, is the idea of watching esports catching on? We find out from Jason Lake, founder and CEO of Complexity Gaming, the esports team part owned by the Dallas Cowboys. That's going to be tonight at 7, tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures this morning, 26 points lower. Dow futures down 243. This is Bloomberg. After those devastating jobless claims, we get non-farm payroll numbers this morning, and we'll get a preview with Carl Riccadonna, Bloomberg's chief U.S. economist. What does it all mean? This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. European equities are falling, led by insurers and energy shares, ahead of a March jobs report in the U.S. that could shed light on the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on the world's biggest economy. Oil is surging after an OPEC Plus delegate told Bloomberg News that a global output cut of 10 million barrels a day is realistic. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower by 29 points. Dow futures down 267. NASDAQ futures down 88. DAX in Germany down 0.5%. The CAC in Paris down 1%. 10-year down 2/32nds, yield 0.60%. 2-year treasury yield 0.21%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is higher by 4.6%, up $1.17 to $26.47 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $6.80 at $16.30.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0809 against the dollar, the yen at 108.45. It's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Coronavirus deaths continue in Spain, Italy, and New York, the most lethal hotspot in the U.S. Worldwide, the number of reported infections reached another grim milestone, 1 million with more than 53,000 deaths. China will honor those who have died in the fight against coronavirus and all victims of the outbreak with 3 minutes of silence on Saturday. The captain of a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier facing a growing outbreak of the coronavirus has been fired by Navy leaders who said he created a panic because he sent a memo pleading for help to too many people. Navy Secretary Thomas Modly said the ship's commander, Captain Brett Crozier, demonstrated extremely poor judgment in the middle of a crisis. Modly says Crozier should have gone directly to his immediate commanders who were already moving to help the ship. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:20, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Good morning. The March jobs report is set to break a streak of 113 consecutive months of payroll gains in the United States with a preview of today's jobs report. We're joined now by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg. Carl, it's been a good run, but it all comes crashing officially to an end this morning.
Well, if this morning will be called a crash, then April's report will be absolute devastation, John. So we're looking for about a 100,000 decline in non-farm payrolls in the month of March. When the April data are reported, which is about March 8th, report will be released, instead of minus 100,000, we'll be looking for something on the order of minus 20 million. On that jobs report. That's based on what we're seeing in the jobless claims numbers. So
put that into a historical perspective for us. When was the last time this country has gone through that?
There's no historical perspective for that, John Tucker. If we're seeing 20 million jobs lost in the April data, that's basically rewinding employment levels back to where we were in about 1999 or 2000. So imagine two decades with not a single job created in the economy, that would be the equivalent. Now, the good news is that that will most likely be a temporary development once the lockdown eases. You'll see a lot of those jobs, not all of them, but a lot of those jobs come back in relatively short order.
Now, let's follow up on that. How do you maintain that confidence that we're going to get a lot of those back?
Well, the confidence comes from the fact that we can see what's happening in other countries, that the lockdown measures eventually are effective and they can start to ease the restrictions. Also, $2 trillion delivered to the economy from the fiscal stimulus package should help to bridge the gap, and also a very responsive, aggressive Fed during this crisis is trying to prevent a lot of those dislocations, which could be scarring, from occurring in the first place. So the Fed has really been out in front much more swiftly than they were during the financial crisis of 2008-2009.
They're out in front, and finally there's monetary as well as fiscal response working in tandem. But I got to ask you about the transmission mechanism. Is it going to get to where it's needed, and is going to get there quickly?
Well, that's a very important question, John, and I think we will see that on the household side. Obviously, there's been a little bit of a backup for individuals filing for unemployment benefits, but as we saw in yesterday's 6 million print, the 3 million print the week before that, people are having success filing for unemployment benefits. So that's an important bridge to the gap for income in the household sector. Also, the stimulus payments look like those rebate checks will be arriving through electronic transfer in relatively short order, a matter of weeks for most eligible households. The problem is going to be in the small business sector. When we look at the normal volume of loans through the Small Business Administration, it's about one-tenth of what they will be delivering through these loan-to-grant measures to avert layoffs in the small and medium business sector. That's a big problem because as we look at employment in the broader economy, about 80 to 85% of private sector employment is for small and medium businesses. So I think that's going to be the pain point where there's a lot of economic disruption and also not a successful track record of very quickly delivering those needed stimulus checks.
Well, yeah, you look at the infrastructure of things like the SBA, they weren't designed to handle volumes like this. You got to wonder, on the other side of this, are these small businesses even going to be intact?
Well, that's a big question here, and I think, as I mentioned, that's going to be the pain point. There's a good chance that we have a lot of bureaucracy and gridlock in terms of distributing those loans. Technically, businesses can start filing with their small business association affiliates starting today, but a lot of those affiliates have said they don't understand the parameters, they don't understand the guidelines, and so I think we are going to see a very slow rollout here, although we've already seen states piling onto the measures to match those grants and loans dollar for dollar to really try to support that sector. So without a doubt, small and medium-sized businesses less equipped to handle a lengthy economic stoppage compared to a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah.
But that's going to be the challenge in the current environment.
Always a pleasure. Carl, stay safe. We appreciate it. Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg. Again, the March jobs report set to break the streak of 113 consecutive months of payroll gains. It's a rearview look on net decline of 100,000 jobs, but as Carl said, April is going to be the month to watch, and that will be devastating. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling as the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread. Testing for COVID-19 is ramping up. That has infections in the U.S. approaching a quarter million. We spoke with Vice President Mike Pence about the effort.
We're now testing over 100,000 Americans a day. We literally are tracking every single day the number of cases that are coming out, where they're coming out, and that's informing our coordination.
Still, medical professionals say they aren't able to test all patients who may have COVID-19, and that's hampering efforts to prevent the spread. U.S. deaths from the disease now number more than 6,000.
And the economic fallout from the pandemic continues to deepen, but support is on the way. That's according to Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin.
The economic impact payments. I had previously said this would take us 3 weeks. I'm pleased to report that within 2 weeks, the first payments will be direct deposit into taxpayers' account.
The IRS will make about 60 million payments this month to people with bank account information on file with the agency. But according to the House Ways and Means Committee, people receiving checks in the mail may have to wait as long as 5 months.
Well, meantime, the $350 billion rescue for small business gets underway today. The funds are sorely needed, but there's concern about processing a flood of applications. Betsy Stevenson is an economics professor at the University of Michigan and former chief economist for the Labor Department.
It's also quite likely that the amount of money they've made available in those guaranteed loans for small businesses will hit its cap. Then they'll need to increase the amount of money that's made available to small businesses in those guaranteed loans, forgivable loans for people who keep people on payroll.
Just yesterday, lenders complained they lack guidance from the Small Business Administration on how to process loans. There's also concern some won't participate because of what's seen as unfavorable terms for lenders.
And finally, in Europe, we're seeing more grim economic data. A measure of services and manufacturing points to an annualized economic contraction of about 10% for the euro area. Markets' composite PMI fell to 29.7 in March, with almost every country in the survey posting a record low reading.
All right, now let's check the latest price action. We check the markets every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower by 26 points. Dow futures down 236. NASDAQ futures lower by 79. The 10-year down 2/32, yield 0.60%. 2-year treasury yield 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil higher by 4.75%, or $1.17, $26.50 a barrel. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time for news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Mayor Bill de Blasio is encouraging New Yorkers to cover their faces whenever they venture out from their homes. A possible preview of a nationwide advisory to come from the White House. De Blasio, in his daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak, urged New Yorkers in the nation's virus epicenter to make their own face covers using items of clothing.
A lot of people are out there right this minute, don't even know they have it. We want to make sure that anyone that doesn't have to get it doesn't get it. So face covering is just a simple way to protect other people and to reduce the speed of that community spread and hopefully keep a number of people from being affected who don't have to be affected.
New York City is reporting nearly 50,000 cases of COVID-19. Global coronavirus infections surpassed 1 million, a milestone reached just 4 months after the first cases surfaced in China. More than 53,000 people have died around the world. President Trump attacked 3M over unspecified problems with its production of protective masks on the same day that his administration issued an order under the Defense Production Act to speed production of ventilators and masks for coronavirus patients.
That I've just signed against 3M for face masks. We just signed a element of the act against 3M. And hopefully they'll be able to do what they are supposed to do.
The act follows FEMA to obtain as many N95 respirators as it needs from the company. 3M said it will boost U.S. production to 50 million per month in June. The director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says he believes that there should be a federally mandated stay-at-home order, something President Trump says he won't do. Dr. Anthony Fauci spoke during a CNN town hall on the coronavirus.
I don't understand why that's not happening. As you said, you know, the tension between federally mandated versus states' rights to do what they want is something I don't want to get into. But if you look at what's going on in this country, I just don't understand why we're not doing that. We really should be.
Millions of Chinese workers are streaming back to factories, shops, and offices, but many still face anti-coronavirus controls. In Wuhan, the city where the pandemic started in December, police require a health check and documents from employers for returning work. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:36 on Wall Street. And that's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And good morning to John Stashower.
Good morning, John. The Patriots may have lost two Super Bowls to the Giants, but their owner, Robert Kraft, says he loves New York, wanted to help in this time of need. Kraft helped broker a deal to bring much-needed 1.2 million N95 masks from China. They arrived on the Patriots team plane. A rental agreement between Tom Brady and Derek Jeter. Collectively, they won 11 championships. Jeter now spends his time in Miami running the Marlins, so he is renting out his 30,000-square-foot mansion near Tampa to Brady, who's about to start a new job there. Longtime Michigan State basketball coach Tom Izzo has been accused of witness tampering. Reportedly 3 years ago, one of his players was accused of a sexual assault. Izzo and two assistants are said to have contacted a witness before police did. Izzo has yet to respond to the allegation. NFL draft later this month. League says it'll be done virtually. Team reps in their own cities. Drafted players will stay home. It'll be interesting to see where the Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa goes. Coming off a serious hip injury, but now saying he has completely recovered. Former Giants cornerback Eli Apple's deal with the Las Vegas Raiders has fallen through. He's once again a free agent. Tony Boselli says he feared for his life. Former star tackle in Jacksonville tested positive, ended up in intensive care at the Mayo Clinic, now feeling better. April 3rd, this day in New York hockey history. 1978, Hall of Famer Mike Bossy scored his 50th goal, became the first rookie to score 50 in a season. 2 years later, helped the Islanders win the first of four straight Stanley Cups. 1988, the Devils clinched their first ever playoff berth. They'd go on to win three cups. John Stash, our Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. Sounds like you got an audience in the background there. Well, coming up today, we get the U.S. payrolls report for March. The closely watched data takes on much less significance this time around. And here with details, Bloomberg's economics correspondent, Michael McKee.
In normal times, Wall Street would be poised for a big day, parsing the jobs report for clues to the Fed's next move. But this month, it may be the most quickly forgotten payroll data ever. The report is based on information collected during the week of March 8th to 14th, which was the week before state lockdowns threw millions onto the unemployment rolls. Over the past 2 weeks, almost 10 million have filed for unemployment benefits, which would imply a 10% unemployment rate. What the numbers may do is provide a baseline for recovery. It will be a long time until we see the kind of labor strength we've had, but the March numbers will give us a target. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Mike. 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I manage money for a living. Here's what I'm telling my clients. I'm Nir Kesar, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. I spent a lot of time on the phone with clients of my asset management firm recently, and the question that came up most was whether investors should sell their stocks now and buy them back later when the economy weakens further due to coronavirus-related complications. It's a natural impulse, but it misses a crucial aspect of the way markets work, which is that stock prices already reflect widely held expectations that things are likely to get worse before they get better. And getting out is only half the battle. because investors must then decide when to get back in, which is never clear. When markets are in turmoil, sometimes it's best to do nothing at all. I'm Nir Kesar. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
It happened 4 years ago. Several thousand migrating snow geese gathered on what they might have thought was a placid lake in Montana. It was, in fact, the remains of an open-pit copper mine filled with billions of gallons of toxic, acidic wastewater. The huge flock of birds died. Since then, the state has moved in to keep birds off the deadly water, using a drone made to look like a bird of prey, a huge air cannon, rifle shots into the water, and fireworks. It's worked for the most part to save the birds. Up to now, a federal law has pressured companies into preventing unintentional bird deaths under the Trump administration, which wants to end the 50-year-old criminal penalties. The former head of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the Obama administration warns it will lead to catastrophe, literally billions of dead birds over time. The Trump administration dismisses such dire predictions, claiming companies will continue to avoid bird deaths voluntarily. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thanks, Bob. Ahead of the open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now 247 points lower. That's down 1.2%. S&P futures down 28 points. That's a decline of 1.1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology. Attend their virtual graduate open house Saturday, April 4th to learn more about their top-ranked business programs. Available online, visit stevens.edu/open house.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Risk off on this Friday morning with S&P futures lower by 24 points. Dow futures down 222. NASDAQ futures down 74 points. DAX in Germany down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris down 0.9%. 10-year little change. The yield 0.59%. Now the 2-year treasury yield 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil up 4.7%, up $1.18 to $26.50 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $7.80 lower at $16.29.90 an ounce. Euros at 1.0810 against the dollar and the yen at 108.48. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with a check of what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City is now following Los Angeles and urging people to wear non-medical masks or face coverings in public because of COVID-19. Soon, the White House is expected to issue similar guidance for more Americans. Global coronavirus infections surpassed 1 million. Meanwhile, Spain's virus death rate declined for the first time in 4 days. The Navy captain who made an urgent plea in a leaked letter to get his sailors off an aircraft carrier because of COVID-19 cases is now being relieved of duty. The Secretary of the Navy says that Captain Brett Crozier's letter asking for his sailors to be allowed off the USS Theodore Roosevelt was emailed to 20 to 30 recipients and wound up being leaked to the San Francisco Chronicle. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:48 on Wall Street, and it's now time to check what's going on in D.C., where the fight against coronavirus continues. President Trump has been ripping into 3M as he now uses the Defense Production Act to push mask and ventilator production. President today meets with oil executives after calling for a 10 million barrel a day supply cut from Russia and Saudi Arabia. And the House has set up a new select committee on the coronavirus response to oversee, in part, how the $2.2 trillion stimulus package is going to be spent. Also making news, the president enjoying higher approval ratings on his response to the pandemic and hoping those numbers hold up in November. For more, we welcome back Wendy Schiller, chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University. And I guess it's safe to say that this time, more than in any other, Wendy, that now to November is really a long ways off.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we have to watch for is, you know, the timing of when the polls are taken. So, you know, as I've said on this show, you know, last week I thought the president did a pretty good job. He was very strong in saying we should all stay home till April 30th. I think his rhetoric and decisions pushed governors from in Georgia, for example, and Florida, among other places, Mississippi, to start really taking much more serious lockdown, social distancing policies and put them into effect. So that's good. Picking fights with GM is bad. Picking fights with 3M is bad. Now we're hearing news that some of the stimulus money that they were touting that was going to get out in 3 weeks won't get out for 4 months. You know, they've got to get this right. This is one of the big criticisms against Obama and the stimulus in 2009, 2010, and certainly made by Trump and others and Republicans, that not only was this not necessary, but it wasn't going to work. And you, if you don't get the money out within this three-month window where people don't have rent relief or mortgage relief, it's not going to have the effect they need to get the economy even in any shape at all going into the fall. So
what
that's
a
big concern.
Sorry to interrupt, but what do you make of the ongoing friction, it seems, between the president and many governors on the front lines of this fight against the pandemic? The president is saying that the states should have acted sooner to stock up. The states themselves are looking for more supply. What is going on here?
Well, it's the utter, you know, inability or lack of capacity for the federal government in our system, which is, you know, heavily states' rights system, even though I don't like to think of that per se. The federal government still doesn't have as much coordinating power over business or states as in a lot of other countries around the world. And so this just shows us that the federal government didn't have the capacity to do this uniformly. You can criticize the president if you want, but the government itself doesn't really have this kind of capacity. So the governors need help from the federal government, but they all have different needs. They all have, you know, different budgets. They all have different, you know, even cultures. So it's really hard to centralize this in a country, particularly in the last couple of years, that resists centralization. I mean, this is just a macro difficulty for the United States of America. It doesn't help if the president's sort of denying the problem in the first couple of weeks, but nonetheless, the structure still gets is much more in the way than anything else.
Well, is there anything at this point that the president can do to try to get ahead of the pandemic, given that it does seem as though he has been touting the federal government as sort of a backstop against the states up to now?
Yeah, he can stop blaming other people, which, of course, isn't going to happen. I mean, that's the thing about President Trump. You just don't know which Trump shows up on which day, and you have to stay consistent. I think this is the problem for the messaging for people. Is this serious? Is it not? Should you stay home? Should you not? Stay consistent from day to day and week to week, and allow the people who are more experienced in dealing with this to give you this good advice. Perhaps your son-in-law, perhaps not your son-in-law, just to make sure that you're doing the right thing day to day. And I think that's what the governors face, which the president doesn't face, or at least he's not accepting that responsibility. So that's the problem, I think. And those poll numbers, by the way, once people in Georgia and Florida, for example, experience lockdown the way other states have and experience, unfortunately, a rise in death toll, I'm not sure those approval ratings on handling COVID virus stay where they are. We just have to wait and see.
I wanted to get a little bit deeper into that because it does seem as though the pandemic is going to start to hit hard in some of those states that haven't put lockdown measures in place right away, particularly in the Deep South. Where do you see things going in terms of the response from the federal government and how the president is perceived in that response?
Well, that's the big question mark is now that, you know, you can call it sort of Trump country if you want, states that are very supportive of the president, that also have particular ideologies that like, you know, individual rights and states' rights and a small federal government. What happens when they get overrun? And they're seeing these disaster pictures from New York City and other places, but they're not experiencing it. So what happens a month from now when they are? Does the president decide, uh-oh, I'm going to lose my base states. I'm actually going to have to really step up in a way that I haven't before? I think we all hope so, because I think it would help, you know, stop the spread of the virus across the country. So, you know, political incentives, I think, have driven some of his lack of response. And I think now, I think hopefully, we'll see political incentives in those areas he thinks are solidly his that push him to be, I think, more consistent and broader in the use of federal power to respond.
All right, we'll have to leave it there for now, but look forward to checking back in with you in the days and weeks to come as this fight, this all-country fight against the coronavirus continues. Wendy Schiller is chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University. You can follow all the very latest developments on the coronavirus pandemic in the U.S. and around the world on the Bloomberg Terminal. VRUS Go is the function, and there are more resources as well at Bloomberg.com/ coronavirus. It's coming up to 6:55 on Wall Street now, and it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. John?
Nathan, this is one of the toughest times ever for small businesses. Doors are closed, employees are being furloughed, and revenue non-existent in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. John Handlery is the third generation of his family to own and operate the boutique Handlery Hotel in San Francisco. A business is just a fraction of the usual volume for this time of year. John, run us through the numbers right now.
We are still open, but it's really challenging. I would say if this was a year ago, April, I'd probably be running about 80%. I'm running 5%.
Now, who are the guests? You were deemed an essential business. Why is there an exemption for the hotel?
Because hotels are still accommodating people. You have a number of people who are coming in, nurses, doctors. They refer to them as first responders. And there's just not housing at, enough housing at hospitals and things of that nature. So a lot of hotels are stepping up. And I think some people are traveling because they have to come to the city for whatever reason, their business, maybe their national companies or international, so they do need to come in for a couple of days and need a place to stay.
In terms of employees, have you had to let anybody go? Furloughed, I guess, would be a better word.
Unfortunately, you have to because you only have a certain amount of rooms you need to clean. You only need a certain amount of people, let's say, on the front desk or in the bell staff. We've ended up furloughing a lot of our sales staff because there's really no way to try to sell at this point in time because no one's going anywhere. And they're only focused in on, you know, hopefully, and I know it will occur, when is the curve going to flatten out? When can I start feeling comfortable? So you can't really do anything from a sales standpoint, I'd say, for at least the next 3 to 5 months because no one's traveling because no one knows when this challenge will be behind us.
John Handlery owns and operates the boutique Handlery Hotel in San Francisco. John, thanks a lot. Just one of many stories we're hearing about here, the struggles for small business in the face of the COVID-19 outbreak. We're going to continue bringing you stories like this every day at this time right here on Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm John Tucker, and that is the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Nathan.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Futures are falling on this Friday morning. It is risk off ahead of a March jobs report due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time that is expected to show the first decline in American payrolls in nearly a decade. Right now, S&P futures are down 23 points. Dow futures lower by 215 points. NASDAQ futures a drop of 74 points. DAX in Germany down 0.2%. 10-year down 1/32nd. The yield 0.59%. 2-year treasury yield 0.22%. NYMEX crude oil higher by 4.4% or $1.11. $26.42 a barrel. The euro is at 1.0804 against the dollar and the yen of 108.51. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz straight ahead. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.